Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and today I'm joined by Adrian Hope Bailey, who is founder of Fynbos Money. So this is a platform, a new investment platform, that aims to make investing simpler and hopefully cheaper, because that's what we all want. So welcome, Adrian.
Thank you. Okay. Nice to be here.
And, you know, it's very interesting. You and I have had a discussion before, and I was saying to you that the most common question I get from people is, where do I start investing? So people know they should be investing, but they're faced with this universe of investments. I think there's like over 1,000 unit trusts, for example, just to give you an example. There's more unit trusts than there are shares on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. And, you know, they just don't know where to start. Is that kind of the vision that started you on this journey?
It is. I think even going to the point where I think most people don't even know what a unit trust is. So you know, it's that extreme. We're a small team. There's only five of us, and we started out. The team's strength is building digital products. We've been together, working together for almost 3.5 years. And we had a very different product, actually, that we were building, not even for the South African market. We were building a digital wallet for the US and European markets, completely different. We come from, you know, financial services background, a lot of us, but long story short, that product is something that we've sold the IP and moved away from. And part of that was around this time last year, so about a year ago, we made a decision we wanted to change focus. We wanted to focus on a local problem, something that was actually acutely affecting all of us personally, friends and family. And that was exactly the problem you described. So you know, one of my co-founders, Matt, you know, is quite a student of investing. He's very interested in it. And he found himself being like the family expert, or the expert amongst his friends, who would come to him and say, what must I do? And what he discovered was that even giving simple advice didn't get people over the line. He would say, you know, you need a tax-free savings account, you need an emergency fund, this is where you can go and open it up. And they would still get lost. Most of the time they'd come back and say, oh, I just don't know where to start, I don't know what to do. So that's the problem that we started out addressing. And actually, in the beginning, all we built was a tool to help people take those steps. It was sort of heavily inspired by products like Vitality and so on, where we said, let people understand this journey that they have to go on, set themselves milestones and goals, and then help them track that. So it was very simple. You know, could put in some information and say, these are my monthly expenses and I want to set up an emergency fund, and we would help you set a goal and then send you a WhatsApp message every month and say, you know, have you contributed into your emergency fund? What we discovered very quickly is everyone said no. Or they would just start ignoring us. And so we realized that the real problem is not only telling people what to do, but kind of taking them on that journey. And so we spoke to a number of other people in the industry who are trying to solve this problem or in this space, and ultimately came to the conclusion the only way to do this was to build the actual accounts themselves into the platform. And so that's what we did. So we've built an emergency savings fund or a savings facility and a tax-free savings facility into the product. And since then, we're evolving really what the product offers on top of those two facilities.
You know, whilst you were speaking about trying to get over that hurdle of have you started your emergency fund, I always think that's the one value that a financial advisor actually offers, is that they force you to fill in the paperwork. And I often say New Year's resolution, fill in the paperwork. I mean, it's actually quite challenging. I think it's also motivation. You know, I'd rather go and sit on the beach than have to fill in an application form. But you spoke about the tax-free savings accounts and the emergency fund and why there? Why? It's really simple, you know, ticking the boxes. Why those two products?
Well, ironically, I took on an advisor 10 years ago, I think, sort of just as I was starting a family and so on. I've never been told to start an emergency fund or a tax-free savings. I've got a life insurance policy and disability and an RA and all of these things, this holistic plan. And if you go look online and you find, you know, look for advice or guidance, those are the first thing anyone will tell you is get an emergency fund. Nobody tells you how to get, what is emergency fund? They just tell you have an emergency fund, and they'll help. There's guidance around, you know, how to pick that number and so on. So for us, the focus was, how do we give people guidance without taking them on as customers for formal advice? And that's, and I guess there's a few things to unpack there. Is probably the biggest problem we uncovered. So we were solving a personal problem, but what we realized as we dug in is the real problem is the way fees work in the industry around advice, because you're going to somebody who's highly qualified, who probably would charge their time out at maybe R1,000 an hour, and you're asking them what to do with your R500,000 a month. And if they're going to take a percentage of that, I mean, you've got to do the maths. You need to have investable assets, not just a net worth, investable assets of R1 million or more for it to be worth their time. So that whole, we looking at that was sort of how we decided then, when we added the accounts and we introduced this concept of being able to actually use us to do the investing, was to say, take all of that out. It's that model doesn't work. You've got to be paying for the value you get at a fee that matches the service you're getting. So we're big advocates for flat fee financial services. And then if you pay your fee for access to the platform for the service you're getting, then you shouldn't be paying a percentage of what you're putting away as well. And so it was very easy for us to then structure a product where we can digitize all of that, keep our costs really, really low, and be able to actually offer that for free. It's interesting for us all coming from kind of a digital product background. That's our expertise. It was sort of fascinating to dig in and realize how far behind the investment industry is in terms of digitization. As you say, all the paperwork, it's crazy. Ironically, that's how we ended up partnering up with our shareholder who joined. We have a partner who joined the business when we started this new journey. And he's a financial advisor, and he has a registered practice and so on. And we operate under the license of that practice. And that was the problem he was trying to solve. He had always had this vision of building a practice that he could really digitize and take away a lot of the admin and so on. But it's very difficult when that's so entrenched, right? And so part of what we've been learning along the way is there's just so much opportunity to cut out costs, cut out fees, cut out intermediaries who are not really adding value, give people the ability to, the way we put it is, take out as much as possible between the person and their investment. When they put the money in, get it into the fund that they want to invest in as quickly as possible with as few steps, because every step in the existing ecosystem costs them a little bit of money, so that by the time the R100 or R1,000 they've put in lands on with the asset manager, it's worth, you know, 95% of that or worse.
And it's quite an interesting, when I remember when tax-free savings came out in the beginning, there were advisors who said to me, oh, it's not worth it because the minimums are so low. So you must remember, I think it started out at 2,500.
Yeah, and the minimums were low, yeah.
And I was saying, but even now, R3,000, it's a lot of money. I think for most people, it's a lot of money. But I think from their perspective, it wasn't enough money because of their fee generation. And that's not, I'm a big fan of good financial advice, huge fan. So it's not to say you don't give financial advice, but exactly that. It's not worth their while in terms of all the admin. And remember, the compliance costs and
that's 100%
needs analysis they have to do. I mean, the regulation that has been dumped on financial advisors is unfortunately doing the opposite of what it was supposed to do, which was protect the consumer. It's now making it only available for higher income earners or people with higher net asset value. So we need these kinds of solutions. But you have specifically chosen only tax-free savings accounts as your sort of long-term investment. And I just have to tell you that I've written a column about why I love tax-free savings accounts and why I think everybody should start with their first, if you got your first R3,000 disposable income, use it. You'd have to be insane not to use a tax-free environment. But what I love about what you've done is that you've separated emergency savings from tax-free savings accounts, because that's the mistake I find everyone makes. They open a tax-free savings account, they put all their money in there, and then 3 months later, the emergency happens and they pull it out of a long-term investment, which affects their lifetime limits on tax-free savings accounts and all of that. So how do you structure it so that a person is building their emergency fund and doing tax-free? How does the platform calculate that?
And I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I think for us, the tax-free is the no-brainer. It's the first investment you should make. The way we like to put it is that's where your money should go in first and come out last, because obviously the tax-free benefit just gets better and better as more and more of that money is from growth, which only happens with time. Absolutely, no-brainer first investment, but with the caveat, as you said, that you need liquidity. You need to be able to have some money available if something goes wrong. And that's that emergency fund that everyone tells you have to have, but doesn't explain why. And a lot of people
or
will say,
where to put it.
Exactly. And they'll say, you might have an emergency medical expense or you might have that. That's fine. But why is it important then that I have an emergency fund and I don't just take it out of my tax-free? And the reality is your emergency fund is your insurance policy on your long-term investments. It's the thing it's the buffer there that helps you stick to your plan. Like you, we are big fans of good financial advice and planning, but if you've put this whole plan together and you've got a plan for the next 30 years with all of your long-term investments, the last thing you want to do is now deviate from that plan because something's happened that you didn't expect. And so the plan has to start with laying down the insurance and then doing the investing. So the way we do that is we provide both facilities, but we also have what we call automations. So as soon as somebody puts money into the platform, the automations determine where to allocate it. And by default, we'll put into your emergency savings first until that reaches the limit that you've configured, and then we'll start contributing to your tax-free. Now you can go and override that and you can tell us, I've already got emergency savings somewhere else, or I've got tax-free somewhere else, because the other thing we want to do is prevent you going over your contribution limits on your tax-free. So all of that's built into the platform, and you can run a single debit order or do an EFT, and all of these things sort of cascade down. And what we're rolling out next week is our paid product, which then introduce a bunch of new options like savings goals. So you can say, well, I want to, first money must go into emergency savings. Once that's topped up, start saving up for a holiday or something else. That should also not be going into your tax-free. So that should also go into a short-term savings pot where it's beating inflation, it's earning something, but you're going to take it out in 6 months or a year or even 5 years. Definitely not a tax-free savings contribution. We like calling it a tax-free investment to try and get away from this mindset that it's
the biggest
savings.
Mistake ever made was the name. I couldn't agree more. It should have been called a tax-free investment account and everyone would have understood what it was for. So I think with the genius of what you've done, okay, this is for me the genius of it, is saying there's one debit order.
Yeah.
Because people say, oh, so I've got to put how much into emergency and how much into my goals and how much, and it gets confusing. Now I've got to open 3 accounts, right? I've got to manage it and I've got to remember it and I've got to put money into each of those. So you're saying, oh, I have 5,000 Rand a month to invest or 1,000 Rand, whatever it is, I will put that in and it will allocate it. And I'll now have my emergencies growing. I'll now have my tax-free and growing. And if there's another goal, I love that. I think that is probably the most powerful element of it. Because my next question, we're going to get to fees. Mm-hmm. But my next question was, how do you differentiate between some of the other platforms that are already out there? A Frank, an Easy Equity, or even something like Stash. How are you different from them?
Sure. Interestingly enough, we know a lot of the founders from those platforms. We've spoken to all of them in the journey getting here. As I said, when we started, we were building what we considered sort of an overlay on top of other people. You know, people like Easy Equities, we had in mind that someone would use our platform to help figure out what to do, but then actually execute it on Easy Equities. And we had a call with Charles Savage and his team, and they were really helpful. They were fantastic in terms of understanding what their journey had been. But they recognized that, you know, their product is for quite sophisticated users at the end of the day. People are trading on Easy Equities. You're picking individual shares. They have the facility to go and create a TFSA and to pick index funds like we have. But you have to know what you're doing. And I think that was the gap. And that's how we would differentiate from an Easy Equities, is our product is designed for people who want to set it up and forget about it. And you know, that's the thinking behind the automations and so on, is if you speak to financial advisors or you look online at, you know, the advice people are giving, the best way to build long-term wealth is consistency, and the best way to get consistency is to have a system. You need to have set something up that you don't have to, as you say, worry about every month. Set up the debit order, forget about it. You know that money's gone off, and you can forget or stop worrying about where it is. In 30 years' time, there's your nest egg waiting for you, you know. So the idea was to take all of that sort of mental, I don't know what to call it, the all of the thinking out of it for the end user, so that they've set it up and they can forget about it. I think how we would differentiate from a platform like Frank, and again, we know Seb and Tom, they've been doing a great job, I think 8 years now that they've been around. For us, big focus on tax-free savings. I think for them, they don't have a tax-free facility. For them, it was more about helping people just get into saving and understand that basics of like saving. For us, it was about long-term wealth creation and investing. And there's subtle differences there, but you can see it in how we've executed our two products and how the pricing differs. Their pricing is very, very simple. But in our opinion, and we said this to them, so this won't be a surprise, in our opinion, their pricing is too high because of their simplicity. They make the overall price 1%, but that means the fund plus the platform adds up to 1%. Whereas depending on which fund you choose, you've got different fees. So we don't charge a platform fee. We rather have a platform subscription. You pay a monthly fee. That's what you pay us. Everything else is going to the asset manager who's managing the fund and separating those two. So I think that's where we diverged in thinking and approach quite dramatically from Frank. Stash, I don't know. I don't have a lot of good things to say about the big FSPs in South Africa, the big old traditional ones. I've been in financial services in South Africa for getting on 20 years now. The reality is innovation is very, very difficult in organizations that big.
So maybe for the listeners, Stash is Liberty.
Yes. It's very difficult. They get caught up in organizations like that have antibodies against change. That's just how they are. Everything is ticking along very nicely. They're all making lots of money. There'll be some poor person or group of people in an innovation team who come up with great ideas and products, and invariably those will slowly wither on the vine and die because the antibodies within the organization are all just going to, you know, attack them until eventually they lose the war.
Well, you know? I just to defend Stash, my husband uses it, so and you know him. So yeah, so I think Stash has got an interesting space. It's, you know, with the fact that you can just put money in through your, you know, as you're spending.
Absolutely.
It's a very different model. I agree.
The thing about the roundup and the idea of rounding up, you know, I've got an expense, let me round it up and put that money away. I think great idea. I would call that a product feature, not a product though. You know, that's something that anyone, Frank, Easy Equities, Fynbos could add to their product. There's a few products we've looked at overseas that we've taken a lot of great inspiration from: Wealthfront, Nutmeg, Acorns, and others. And roundup cards are a feature of most of theirs. The challenge in South Africa is, I mean, this is our world we come from, is payments. Is rolling out a card in South Africa as a feature of a product is actually quite expensive. It's a lot more expensive here than in other countries. A lot of those guys who roll out a card actually earn revenue from that card. In South Africa, you have to charge your customers for that card. So it's something we're looking at on our roadmap down the line, but I think it's a distraction for now.
Well, let's get to the fees, because that's always the question. You ask anyone, like, how do you make money? So I know right now, currently, the basic entry-level product is free.
Yeah.
So how do you plan on making money going forward?
So as I explained earlier, I think, you know, our philosophy is that you pay for what you get. You pay for the value. So, you know, we are about to launch our paid subscription, which we'll launch next week, and that'll cost you 100 rand a month. And that's how we will earn, you know, revenue from the product initially. The fee product costs us very little to offer because we are really just a digital intermediary between you and an asset manager who's, you know, got the fund that you're putting the money into. We have a fantastic partner, Lisp, who enables us to do that. And so the unit economics for us are really good on individual accounts. So we're not counting assets under management like most companies in our position. We're counting number of users. We want scale up the number of users we have so that we can convert a good portion of those to people who will pay the subscription fee for the added value that we can offer. And part of how we want to differentiate, going back to that question, is on customer service and building a brand that people feel is worth paying for. I will pay 100 rand a month because Fynbos's product is great and the service is great and it's worth paying for. So, I mean, obviously it's early days for us, but that's the brand we want to establish. And so the subscription fee will be the main, you know, revenue initially. And we've got some really interesting distribution channels around that already in the works, working with employers, for example. So we've had a few employers, just early engagements with employers, very excited about the idea of saying, well, yeah, we'll pay the 100 rand a month for our employees to have access to a fully fledged Fynbos account. And with that account, they get to create TFSAs for their kids. They get to set up the savings goals. And I think for all employers, they're recognizing that financial wellness is a really, really important thing for them to worry about. Because I think it was a PwC survey in 2023. They showed huge impact on productivity, on absenteeism, all those things based around financial health. If you're financially stressed, you're useless at work. You're not concentrating. You're not productive. So I think a lot of modern employers are recognizing the value of helping their employees sort that stuff out. And I think Fynbos as a tool is a great, you know, way to get that going. So that's a channel. And then IFAs as well. I know we position ourselves as a product you can use without needing advice. And that's true. You can set up a tax-free savings and emergency savings without someone having to hold your hand. But at the end of the day, that's solving what's often called the advice gap. An advisor can't service somebody who doesn't have enough money to invest if all they're giving them is investment advice. So they have to sell them insurance or whatever. But there are advisors who don't want to do that. So if you are, you know, servicing a high net worth person and they come to you and say, can you help my son or can you help my daughter? What do you do as an advisor? And we're trying to say, well, just plug them into Fynbos. You can stay their advisor. You'll be on record. You'll be able to log in and see what they're doing. But basically, they're not going to cost you any time or effort anymore until they get to a point that now you need to sit down with them and do some planning or whatever the case may be. So there's a lot in the works on that side. And I'm very confident that just that digitization of that process and the value we can add on top there is something people will pay for and that we can generate enough revenue from.
So I think it's important just for the listeners to understand there is a basic entry level one that's free and will remain free.
Yep.
You have a debit order and it goes into the emergency fund and then the tax-free savings
exactly.
account. If you pay 100 rand a month, then you get a whole lot of extra features, which includes goal saving, additional tax-free savings accounts for family members, and probably additional things you'll bring on down the line.
Yeah.
So I was doing the maths in my head, which is not always a good thing. And I was sort of thinking, you know, advisors always have, there's always this pushback on costs. Mm-hmm. So I suppose if you're putting, you know, is there an amount that you should have a month before you would take the paid for service? So if you're putting 1,000 rand away a month, for example, in the beginning, that's 10%, okay, 100 yeah. rand. Yeah. But by the end of the year, you've got 12,000 rand. So what's it then? It's becoming 1%. That would be correct.
Yeah.
And then every year it gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So yes, in the beginning, it would take some of your money.
Yeah.
But I suppose if you're somebody who's got 200 rand a month, it's not going to make sense to go on the paid platform. So have you done some sort of idea of like, if you have this much to put away every month and you've got all these goals, the paid for would be worth it?
Absolutely. That's the reason we have the free plan. I think we couldn't go out there and say we're trying to solve this problem that we say we want to solve, but only for people who can afford 100 rand a month subscription. And I think it's important, again, to come back to this idea that we think the way the industry's fees work is broken. And so we want to separate this idea of I'm paying a fee that comes out of my investment. Those are my investments. They go into a fund. The person who manages the money, the fund manager or asset manager, sure, they're going to charge a fee. But not the intermediary, not the person who just facilitated making that happen. If that facilitator offers me additional value, I'll pay them. And that's an expense. That should go on my budget like my Netflix subscription. Do I get value out of it? Yes, I'll pay for it every month. So I kind of see them as separate things. If you do the maths, as you say, and you say, I've only got 1,000 rand a month to invest, the way I would think about it is invest that 1,000 rand a month. Can you afford another 100 rand a month to pay for access to our platform? Yes or no? Make the decision. Do you want the features that you get for the 100 rand a month platform? Yes, you do, and you're prepared to pay for them. That's fine. But separate that from how much you're investing, because your investment is, we go by the 50-30-20 rule in terms of trying to aim to set aside 20% of your income as long-term savings and investments. If you do that, if you, as they say, pay yourself first, you put that money aside. If you, out of your other budget, your expenses, the budget you use to pay for other things, decide you've got 100 rand to spend on Fynbos' additional features, then pay for those. And I think as soon as you start doing other accounts, so as soon as, for example, I set up an account for myself and my three children and maybe my wife, now the numbers change completely, because divide that by five, I'm actually only paying 20 rand per person. So there's a lot of ways I think that it's affordable if you're the right person for the product. We know that, I mean, our numbers will tell us from our early research that it's probably going to be at best 10% of our users will convert to paid initially. But that will grow and that will change. And I think that's where things like the employer benefit or the IFA benefit comes in, where an employer says, you know what, it's worth it to me for my employees to have access to those features, so I'll pay for those. It's an employee benefit. Mm-hmm. And as an employee benefit goes, it's a pretty cheap one.
I want to get to your fund selection, because that's often the challenge, and that's part of the sleepwalking process, is people are faced with, even if I say to them, go to Satrix, for example, I say, go to Satrix and choose a tax-free savings account. There's all these choices. How have you selected the underlying funds? Because effectively, there is some advice in there, you know, in the choices that you're given. I mean, you've only got four. Have I? Four?
We've got five. Five. And we have one for all of our savings go into Alan Gray's money market.
So that's the emergency fund.
Yeah. So the emergency fund and the saving pots, all of that would be money market. And that may change over time. We may offer other slightly longer term, sort of call it medium term savings, which are different. But for now, that's how that works. The TFSA, we didn't want to pick one. So we decided we would set some criteria and pick five funds from different asset managers that sort of fit in that criteria, but not all identical. And ironically, the first question we get from most customers via our WhatsApp support is, which fund should I choose? So maybe we should have just picked one. But we have a bit of information on our website about, you know, the criteria. But at a high level, it's all passive index tracking funds, all offshore equities. So, you know, very sort of generic standard advice, you're investing for the long term, put it in the market and diversify. So, you know, pick an index that gives you naturally some diversity, and an index tracker is going to be low fees, which is obviously also very important long term. So we have a variety of index tracking offshore equity funds. Some of them have a little bit more of a slant towards a specific sector or geography. So S&P 500 is or only American stocks. There's an S&P 500 Infotech, which is even more specific as Infotech. And a lot of that is just, that's what people have asked for. The most generic would be the MSCI World, for example, fully globally diversified, you know, stocks from all over the world. But then there's also, we do have some that are only large cap and then shares, and then some that are a bit more broad as well in that diversity. And this is where we sort of trying to walk a line of, we don't want to give advice, we don't want to become advisors, because that comes with a whole lot of overhead that introduces cost that takes us away from our mission, which is give you something that allows you to do it yourself. But at the same time, we don't want to give you this paradox of choice where you like, okay, well, you've given me too many options. I don't know which one to pick. So maybe we could even cut it down to three.
Well, I was having a conversation with you earlier around, you know, the decision to put the S&P 500 in. And you were saying, well, people are asking for it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, sometimes we have to protect people from their own lack of knowledge. So if you are not familiar with the markets and you've seen that the S&P 500's gone up massively, and especially the info, you know, the big seven have just blown the markets away, you want to climb in it. You know, if you go and speak to an asset manager today, they're selling that stuff because they say it's too expensive. So, you know, and I'm ex-stockbroking. So one thing I can tell you is that retail clients tend to are always way behind where they need to be. And, you know, I suppose that would be my one comment is I would stay away from anything that was sector specific, even if people are asking for it. Then you can say, well, you know what? If you feel that strongly, you can do it, because this is sleepwalking. This is 30 years sleepwalking. If you feel that you want to play the edges, maybe that's an easy equity call. You know, maybe you go and join an easy equity platform. So I don't know. That is a conversation, a debate.
I think
you can
as soon as you get beyond like picking one fund that's, you know, diverse and tracking an index for 30 years, you're gambling. I mean, you're placing bets on individual shares. That's definitely not the game
we want to be in. We definitely stay far away from that part.
We don't want to be in that game at all. I think the choice of funds we have there will evolve over time. You know, as an example, we're already exploring adding some Sharia compliant options there. So, you know, that's something we would love to be able to support, especially in Cape Town. A lot of like our friends and neighbors and so on are would be looking for that as an option. So that will evolve, I think, over time. And it's a difficult balance between. We want to give people what they want, and we want to give them a product that they are drawn to and are interested in using, without like being nannies. We're not, you know, going to just tell them what to do and treat people like idiots. So there's a balancing act to be played there. At the end of the day, for us, the value we think we add is making it easy and cheap for them to access these funds, and giving them enough options that they feel empowered, but not so many options that they're overwhelmed.
Maybe it's almost getting to a point of default. This is our default. If you want to opt out of the default, these are the other choices.
It's one of the hottest topics in our office, to be
absolutely.
Honest, in the product design, is like, how do we give people guidance on which one to choose? Because I'm dealing with a support request at least two or three a day. I've just signed up for your TFSA. Which fund should I choose? And, you know, without giving advice, we want to say, well, the most popular one is MSCI World, which it is. If we ask financial advisors, they will mostly recommend MSCI World for a TFSA. It's just the thing about long-term investing is it's boring.
And
you,
so
you're
boring.
Like, how do you persuade people that that's a good thing? Yeah.
With the money that's not TFSA, go do your speculation.
And there's lots of interesting things we sort of want to be able to introduce over time for discretionary investing and so on. But I think the key is for people to understand that, you know, when they hear about people buying Bitcoin or buying Tesla or Nvidia and making lots of money, those people are not betting their life savings. And if they are, I'm like,
well, they may have
sorry,
made a little bit of a mistake recently.
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
If things go up, go down.
Yeah.
The law of gravity. I just wanted to end off, you know, I know the kind of questions I always get when I interview someone like yourself, a new product, and that is my money safe with them? Who are you? Who's Fynbos
money? Absolutely fair question.
Are you going to take my money and disappear?
Fair question. And I think one we like to be asked, actually. We you know, in putting the company together and deciding that customer service and transparency and things were going to be a differentiator for us, we, from day one, you could go on our website and you can see a picture of where your money goes. We'll show you. It comes into a licensed third-party payment processor. And as soon as that money is received, it goes on to a Category 3 administrator, a LISP, who then put that money away. They have the nominee accounts. They have the record of who the investor is and how many units of what funds they hold and so on. We are a digital platform on top of that. And we are just giving people access to this world, which historically they can only get through some sort of intermediary or advisor or broker or whatever the case may be. So if we had to shut down tomorrow, everybody's funds are safe. They're all sitting there with our administrator. Everything's, you know, recorded in those nominee accounts and so on, and they would be able to access them. You know, the funds go to reputable asset managers like Allan Gray or Signia and so on. So we're a product company that's trying to build something that gives people access to those facilities brings them closer to those things at a cost that for us makes sense in a digital world.
Well, I must say, I think you've got, and I said a little bit earlier, I think the model of a single debit order that solves all my savings and investments. Obviously, people will have retirement and that outside of it. And we've just, it's just probably not the place for it. They probably have it through their company and RAs and all the rest of it. But just my basic savings, you know, I want my emergency funds. I may have goal savings. I want my tax-free savings accounts on one debit order. To cut, the biggest thing that people want is convenience. So I think I really, really hope that people take this up and that that Fynbos money grows, because I think it is something that is going to solve a need. So thank you, Adrian.
Thank you very much. Cheers.